Hello. In this audio snippet, we will continue talking about the 10th pillar of the New American Constitution, which would be the fifth human right, fifth fundamental individual right, which is the right to a personal domain. And as we said previously, the right to a personal domain basically refers to the right to establish many kingdoms, if we can call it that, where your will, your individual will, can predominate over that kingdom to a large degree. And examples of those personal domains that we as individuals have a right to create and exercise are your personal home, for example, where you have if you are free, and if you are an individual who is exercising his or her rights in your personal home, you will have a certain latitude over what happens and does not happen in your home. You know, where your furniture is located, how things are organized, and so forth. So that's an example of personal home. Another example would be a business. As an individual, you have the right to create a business and run the business in a way that is fit or that fits your will, your tastes, your desires, and so forth. So that's another very important example of a personal domain, and so this right is behind the concept of companies, the right of the individual to establish a company and kind of fashion it according to his or her tastes and will in many degrees. And another example of a personal domain is a social club. If you establish a social club where people of a certain kind gather together to interact socially, and where you can define the rules of engagement of how people relate in that social club. So these are examples of the right to of personal domains that we as individuals have a right to create, an inherent right to create and exercise and be masters over. And in those certain situations, other people will be involved in one way or another. But when they are inside your domain, they must have a certain willingness to accept your will. And we briefly talked, for example, about a situation in a company where you, as the creator of the company, can establish this personal domain, call it your company, and establish certain rules and tell other people whom you hire into your company. You can tell them what to do, what not to do. And they will have to be willing when they enter into that domain of yours to more or less carry out your will. And obviously, we spoke of the fact that in these domains, your will may predominate, but it doesn't mean that it can be absolute. You can't will other people or force other people to do things that are wrong, morally wrong. You can't tell your employee, oh, go ahead and kill a whole bunch of people just because you ordered it. Yes, it is a place where your will has a certain authority and more or less predominates, but not necessarily in an absolute way. Absolute in the sense of overriding other people's rights, for example. So in a sense, we're all under or submitted under the truth. The truth continues to be the overall umbrella that hangs, you could say, or looms over all of us. And that is based on pillar number one, when we discussed the first five pillars. and we spoke of pillar number one, the recognition of the existence of a truth outside of a reality outside of us that is to have authority over us, and that authority is the truth that rules over our lives. So we can't just deny that other pillar or any of the other pillars rights that individuals have when we establish a personal domain. And we also mentioned previously that this right to a personal domain is the fundamental right from which the right to vote emanates. And we evolved in human history from absolute monarchies to the more or less, if you can call it, quote, democratic systems that we have now, where people have a greater influence over the shape of government through their voting. And that that right to vote to shape your government comes from your right to a personal domain. As a king who can establish many kingdoms, you have the right to influence what the government will look like, the government that will then come and affect what you can or cannot do. So the principle of democracy, of democratic government, cannot be justified without the existence of this right. And so it's a very fundamental right, and it's sadly one that is not explained or described in most or all legal frameworks. You know, people talk about the right to a house, a right to a decent living, and all sorts of imaginary rights. But this one, which is so fundamental, is not really spoken of. But in the new American Constitution, it will be one of the five fundamental human rights. And all other rights are derived from these five that we are describing in these audio clips. And so, so as we said a moment ago, your personal domain does not give you the authority to violate the rights of others. And that just goes without saying that as we describe all these pillars, the pillars don't contradict each other. So if you exercise a certain right and then that right starts to infringe upon other rights of other people, then that's where you're starting to misinterpret or take that right beyond its intended or metaphysically valid boundaries. So so in other words, one pillar does not deny any of the other pillars, and that means that as you're exercising this personal domain where your will predominates to a large degree, you still recognize the rights of others, and that it, even though we haven't said it out loud, you can say from the beginning implies the recognition of the inherent equality of all people. In other words, when we start talking about the rights of the individual, the individual has the right to this, the individual has the right to that, as we start laying down these, putting down these pillars, these foundational pillars, we are, without saying it, saying all men or and all men and women, and just to be technically correct, all human beings are equal. Because we're talking about the rights of the individual. So that implies that if you're an individual, you have these rights. And hence, all individuals who inherit these rights are then equal to each other. So so as we talk about rights, we are kind of underneath the surface implicitly saying that all men are equal. And that equality is... overrides everything that we are saying about human rights. So now we started trying to have a sense of how this personal domain works and how it interacts with the rights of others. We started talking about the example of a baker, a story that happened in real life of a baker in Colorado, I believe, who ran into trouble because a homosexual couple entered their bakery and requested a wedding cake for their homosexual wedding, and the baker was a Christian, and he did not want to bake the cake, and it turned into a big deal. And I don't remember what turned out at the end with that story, but there we see this conflict between the personal domain of the baker, where his will has a certain right to predominate to a certain extent, and we see that clashing with the will of others, you know, the homosexuals who wanted a cake to be baked for their wedding. And then the question becomes, where is the boundary? How do you define where your right to a personal domain ends and the rights of others begin, in a sense? And we try to explain that the explanations we have to give around where that boundary is should never include the word religion, because if we start talking about religion, then we open an ambiguous box that has no shape and has no definition, and is utterly useless. Because religion becomes this big umbrella that can cover just about anything. What if, for example, somebody starts a religion that says that you have to sacrifice your children if they're born on the fifth day of November at 5:55 a.m. You know, and that's their religion, and they believe that they were told that that's how things are supposed to be, and then they go ahead and exercise their religion and go around trying to kill children. You go, well, no, that's obviously wrong. Yes, I'm giving an example that's obviously wrong, where you go, hey, we don't care what religion this person has. What he is trying to do is wrong, and you can't justify it under the umbrella of that's his religious belief. And so religion has become this lazy way of trying to justify certain actions without really digging into the matter and realize and finding out exactly why or why not this action that is based on, quote, religious beliefs is valid. So religion can mean anything to anyone. You know, there were some religions where polygamy was accepted, but we have anti-polygamy laws in the books. So are we violating those people's freedom of religion by having these laws and so forth? So it's a very lazy word. And we also mentioned that everybody has beliefs, and even those that don't seem to have a religious fervor to them, they still practice a belief system. And some of them, even though they don't have a, quote, religious umbrella over them, practice their beliefs with a religious fervor that verges on the fanatical. You know, for example, the liberals, their religion is their liberalism, and they're very, very fiery about it, and very fanatical and obsessed with it, and they try to impose it on people with fascistic tyranny. They believe they know what's best for everybody, and they're willing to impose it against their will, no matter what. So it's they act with this religious fervor, trying to impose their will on others in a fanatical, self-righteous way. But they claim not to have a religion. And they are very mocking and critical of people who have a quote religion, and without realizing that they are like them, and even worse. So that's very important to keep in mind as we talk about all these things. So as we begin to talk about the baker and in that scenario, we hopefully begin to notice that. That when we're trying to define what the right to a personal domain entitles us to, we, to a certain degree, are giving people the right to exercise certain judgments within that kingdom, that personal domain, and that they can then judge others in certain ways, and the question is, what judgments are right? But we have to recognize, yes, there are certain judgments that can be made. Like, for example, if there's some stores where they have signs outside, at the entrance saying no dogs allowed, and sometimes they say only service dogs or things like that. And usually you see those signs in eating places. And so some places don't allow you to bring your dog in. If you want to buy something, you have to tie your dog outside or not bring your dog at all. And the question is, well, do they have the right to do that? And the answer is yes, they have the right to do that. And we all know we don't have any problems with it, or at least most people don't, with a business owner deciding not to let dogs in because of sanitary reasons and so forth. I personally wouldn't mind too much letting the dogs in, but I do understand why someone would have a rule like that. So it's a judgment that's being made saying, no, you will not bring a dog into this business because I believe that for certain sanitary reasons, they should not be inside. If you have a personal domain, you don't have the authority to exercise these judgments in your domain, then your domain is useless. You know, it's like a police officer who cannot enforce any laws, like a judge or a king who cannot decree anything, does not have the right to decree anything, then he has no kingdom. So in the case of the baker, we are seeing someone who is saying who is making a judgment about the behavior of the people who are coming in and saying, I don't agree with the behavior and I don't agree with doing something to celebrate that behavior. And that's where the thing has to be defined. What is the person doing? Is the person judging behavior or is the person judging inherent value? Now, if the person is judging inherent value and saying, hey, you are inherently less valuable than other people, then that judgment is wrong and can be rejected as a valid judgment in that personal domain. So even though it's your domain and you have the right to make judgments, if your judgment is indicating that some people have... are inherently superior to others, that some people have inherent value greater than other people or less than other people, then the judgment is invalid and you cannot exercise it. And so if the baker was saying, hey, homosexual people are inherently inferior, then the judgment would be wrong. But if the judgment is saying, hey, I'm not saying that the other person is inherently inferior. I'm saying that person is engaging in a behavior that is wrong, and I'm judging it as wrong, and I am not going to participate in validating that behavior. then it's a different type of judgment. Then it can't be automatically rejected. And the other thing, so that's one important principle to have in mind, that to define the boundaries of the right to a personal domain, we have to take into account the ability to make judgments about the behavior of others, as long as that judgment is not a judgment that declares inherent superiority or inferiority of people. For example, if you have a place where, let's say, like in India, they have a caste system, and some people are called the untouchables, people of a lower caste that are so worthless, quote unquote, in that culture that, you know, no one wants to touch them. So they are of a lower caste, and then they have a higher caste of people. And people are just born into these castes and permanently stay in those castes. So if you have a store and a bakery, and you put a sign outside that says no untouchables allowed, say no people of a certain caste can come in, then you are making a judgment not about behavior but about inherent value. You're saying certain people are inherently inferior to others, and those types of judgments are not to be allowed in a proper society that is functioning under the concept of individual rights. Because if you believe in individual rights, you're inherently implying that all people are, all individuals are equals, are equal, because they all inherit these rights. It's not allowed to then declare some people inherently inferior to others, even if you're exercising your right to a personal domain. So principle number one, we have to give latitude to people making judgments about the behavior of others, as long as those judgments do not imply inherent superiority or inferiority. In other words, that some people are not just born inferior. No, they may be acting in an inferior way, which is different from being born inferior, but some people may be acting in an inferior way because they're making decisions that are wrong. Like, for example, if you have a restaurant and you have a rowdy crowd, like there's a table and with a lot of people sitting there, and they are causing a ruckus and throwing food around and just making a mess and bothering all the other customers in the restaurant, then you as the restaurant owner can say to these people, hey, your behavior is unruly. If you don't cut it out, we will throw you out of here, and you will no longer be able to come to our restaurant. So you can make judgments about behavior, because it's in you're in your personal domain. If they were in their house and they were throwing food around and it was, you know, their house, and it's their choice, because then they are in their personal domain and they have certain freedoms to be raucous as they wish, but not when they are in someone else's domain. So parameter number one, there has to be a latitude for people to make judgments in their personal domains about the behavior of others and declare them good or bad, and make rulings, you could say, based on that, as long as those judgments are not a declaration of inherent superiority or inferiority of certain people. And the second thing that has to be taken into account is that those judgments of behavior have to be pertaining to the service being rendered or requested. You know, especially when it comes to a business, for example. In other words, I may think that homosexual behavior is wrong, so I'm making a judgment about behavior. And if someone comes in who is a homosexual and they order a regular cake, you know, just because they want to buy a cake, then the behavior, their homosexual behavior, is not directly related to what they're at, to the service that's being rendered at that moment to a case, because they are buying a cake just like anybody else would buy a cake, and because in that case the behavior is not related to the purchase at hand, then there is then if you reject the sale of the cake just because they are because you can kind of perceive that they're homosexual, or someone told you that the person is homosexual, then that judgment is incorrect. If it has nothing to do with the interaction at hand, then it's not relevant. And this is important, I believe, to have in the Constitution clearly established, because I have noticed, for example, in many cases where, let's say that a company has an employee and the employee posts something on some social media or whatever, posts something on the internet, and that is, quote, controversial, or usually someone who is a conservative saying something conservative, and then the liberals in the company that he works for find out, and then they fire him because he posted something that was contrary to their political beliefs, even though the company has nothing to do with politics or nothing to do with the subject being discussed by this person on his own on the internet. And there's something fundamentally wrong there, because and it's usually the liberals who do this, because liberals are very radical. They are very dictatorial. They like to impose themselves on others under this idea, I know what's best for you. You're too stupid to understand what is best for you, and therefore I want to control your life and control everything you do because I know what's best. And so they have this very controlling, very, very radical, ugly mentality. So if they find out that someone is, let's say, a Trump supporter, and they will say, oh, he's a racist, blah, 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 and we don't want a person like that in our company. And I've heard of people who are let go because of things like that. And that is wrong. And that goes the other way around. If you see, if someone's, post something that is anti-Trump, and let's say the owner of the company is a strong Trump supporter, it would be wrong for that person to be fired just because they posted a comment against Trump or against conservatism. Let's say that they are a liberal nut job and they post something that is very liberal and very offensive to the company owner, then it would be wrong for the company owner to fire that person just on that, because yes, they have a right to judge the behavior of the employee, but it has to be behavior pertaining to the exchange taking place. In an employer-employee relationship, if the employee is doing a good job and behaving correctly within the company, doing what's right, then what they do in their personal life is none of their business. It should not matter, and it's not relevant to what they do or their relationship with the company. So because if we start allowing companies to do these sorts of things, we are allowing them to intrude on the right of people to exercise their kingship. So yes, I may be working for a company, but that does not make me a permanent subject of the company. I'm not subject to everything that the company lords decide. If the company lords believe that Joe Biden is the greatest White House resident in the history of mankind, that does not mean that I have to be silent if I disagree with that, just because I work for that company. I didn't sell my soul the moment I worked for that company. I just decided to render my services and get paid for it. And yes, within my job tell me to do X, Y, and Z, as long as those things are not morally wrong, I will just go ahead and do them, even if they are stupid things or things that I don't personally find intelligent to do. And I say that from personal experience, where I have been told to do things that I know are totally stupid, are going to be destructive, and they end up being destructive. But because I work for that company, I do what I'm being told to do, as long as it's not morally wrong in some way. But that does not mean that I'm still submitted to that company when I'm outside on my personal time. So that's very important to maintain, that the judgments of behavior within your personal domain must be pertaining to the service being rendered or requested. It has to be related in some way. You can't just judge people's behavior just because you may not like it, or maybe the behavior is wrong. But if it's not relevant to the domain, then it cannot be brought to bear. And the third thing that is very important, as we analyze all of this, will become evident as we go through other examples. So let's go through some of the other examples to get a better sense of this third thing that we want to talk about. Let's say that you have a baker who does not want to bake a cake for an interracial couple. For some reason, let's say that he believes that that interracial couples are not good. And we can give the example of someone who believes that because their religion teaches it. And there are some religions like Mormonism, for example, I think was more or less leaning in that direction for a long time until they realized it was not going to work out too well for their religion. So they kind of had a change of mind. But there are religions where that sort of thinking is there. I would dare say that in India, there might be some religions where you would not, where they prohibit certain people mingling, certain groups or tribes mingling in some way or another. I wouldn't know for sure, but I do believe that there are religions out there where this notion that the intermingling of certain peoples is not allowed exists. And so let's say that there is that the baker practices a religion where that believes that certain people of one race should not marry people of another race. Let's say that someone takes there's a passage in the Bible that talks about not mixing seeds. I don't know the exact details, but there's somewhere something in Leviticus or one of those of books. At the start of the Bible that mentions something like that, and some people could take that and say, "Hey, that means that according to the Bible, then people of one race should not be mixing with people of another race." Now, that would be a stupid application of that verse for a lot of reasons. But let's say that someone takes it out of context or misinterprets it and starts promoting this notion. So the baker's there one day, and then suddenly a black man and a white woman walk into the store, and they are married, and they want to have a wedding, an anniversary cake. So they're there to buy that cake, and you go, and then the baker goes, "Hey, I can't do that because I don't believe that, you know, black and white people should be marrying each other," and he's doing it for a religious reason. And that's why we're saying the canopy of religion is a lazy canopy, because then you can start justifying just about anything. And what are you going to say that if you force the baker to bake that cake, that you are then violating that person's freedom of religion? See, we have to take the whole religion thing out. It's either right or wrong. See, if you believe, let's say if you're a Christian and you believe in God, if you're, let's say you're, I'm talking to a conservative Christian out there, You know, you believe in the Bible and you believe that your God created the heavens and the earth and all this thing. Do you think that your God divided the world into the religious side and the secular side? That your God makes this weird division of existence between the realm that is His and the realm that is man's? The moment you start believing or claiming that there is a God out there, you're claiming a source of truth, a source of reality from which everything emanates. By definition, that's what you are saying when you say that a God exists. And if you're saying that, then everything emanates from that God. You can't put him in this little camp and say, okay, God, you're the king in this area that we will call religion. And just stay inside there, and we are going to be the kings outside that little fence that you've put around God. So God, you're the king there, but we are the kings on this side. So you are the king of the religious stuff, and we'll follow you when it comes to religious stuff, but there's another side of humanity, the secular side. Do you think that God limits himself like that? Like he says, oh, these are religious activities, these are non-religious activities. If you believe in a God, then you will, if you have any shred of common sense, you will have to admit that God, if he exists, does not think like that. How could he possibly divide himself and limit himself to a religious realm? No, to him, to God, if God exists, conservative Christian, if your God exists, the God that you preach about exists, then he sees everything as just reality. Everything is the same thing. There's no religious boundaries. Something either is good or bad, right or wrong. It's either metaphysically valid or metaphysically invalid. There is nothing about, oh, this is the religious realm, this is the secular realm. There's none of that. Everything is just stuff. Everything either is true or false. Everything either follows certain metaphysical principles or it doesn't. Simple as that. So going back to the example of the interracial couple, in that case, what do we do? Is the baker right in exercising his personal domain rights and not baking the cake for the interracial couple? Well, it depends on whether the judgment, again, is based on behavior or inherent value. Is he saying that a black person cannot marry a white person because a black person is inferior to a white person, and therefore they should not mix because they are different types of organisms, and one is inferior to the other, and you don't want to lower the quality of humanity by mingling high quality people with low quality subhumans or whatever. If that's the fundament, if that's the justification, then it's wrong. Then the person is wrong in having done that. But if the justification is different, let's think of another example, a crazy example. But let's say that the person does not believe that black people are inferior to white people or vice versa. And let's say that his reason for not liking interracial couples is because he believes that it causes too much trouble, that black people are gonna when people of different races marry, they run into so much trouble and so much difficulty and so much strife that it's just not a good marriage to have. And for the sake of everybody's peace, then he thinks that interracial couples should not exist. Let's say that is his justification. Then it's different. It is wrong, but it's different, and he has the right to exercise that belief, as long as it's not an excuse for a belief in racial inferiority, inherent inferiority of people based on race. And you go, well, how can we really justify that? Let's take another example. Let's say that a baker will not bake a cake for a relative who is about to marry who what he considers a low life. Let's say that a father, or not maybe not a father, but let's say that a certain person has a niece that is about to marry this low life criminal, and nobody in the family knows why this girl wants to marry this guy. They don't know what she sees in him, but she's head over heels in love with him and is going to marry him no matter what. And she comes to a bakery that's owned by a family member, and she says, "Hey, can you please, Uncle Joe, can you please bake a cake for us?" And he will go, "No, I'm not going to bake this cake, this wedding cake for you, because I believe you're destroying, ruining your life by marrying this this bum, and I will have no part in it. I'm not going to bake the cake for you." That's an example where I think most of us would agree that, yes, the baker has a right to not bake that cake, because he is personally invested in that young girl, you know, because she's a family member, and he believes that she's destroying her life, and he's not going to just honor that moment of self-destruction in his view. Now we don't know. We understand his point of view, but who knows whether he's right or not? Maybe he's not a low life. Maybe he was a low life, and he had a personal conversion, and now he's a totally different human being, but he has his track record of all these crimes he committed, petty crimes he committed in the past. So the guy, the baker, might be wrong, but we understand his point of view, and therefore, you know, he would be justified in not baking the cake. So there's an example where, yes, the behavior can be judged, and it's not necessarily right or wrong. It depends on the circumstance. It depends on what is being judged. As we're talking about all these things, let's give another example to show how this third principle kind of runs into play. This third principle we haven't mentioned explicitly. I'm sure that you've seen these places, these nightclubs, where they have what they call a bouncer at the door, who is standing outside, and there's a long line of young people waiting to get into the club, and they always have to go by the bouncer, and the bouncer has to validate their entrance somehow into the club. And sometimes these bouncers decide to not let some people in just because they don't like them. For some reason, it's like the person doesn't look hip enough, if he looks nerdy or whatever. The bouncer has the prerogative to say, "Hey, you know, we don't want nerds like you. You kind of bring down the atmosphere, and we just want the sexy people inside. So, we're not going to let you in." I've always found that very offensive, that concept of this bouncer who decides, "Oh, you are in, you're out, you're worthy of our club, but you're not worthy of our club," and it's very, there's something very evil about it. But I do understand that because it's their club, it's their domain, they have a right to it. And if, you know, they don't want me in there, well, you know, they can, you know what? And it's their loss that if they don't want me in there, let's say. So I'm, you know, and I don't care. If you don't like me, I don't like you either. I don't need you. You don't need me. You need me, but I don't need you. But I do understand it's their domain. They have the right to do it if they want to. So in that case, we're seeing, but that is different, for example, from a bakery where people are coming in and out. And the question is, what is the difference? Well, the difference has two components, and one component is the concept of personal versus public access. In a bakery, if you open a business that you know, and you put a sign outside that says bakery, then you have to start letting people in or out. If you decided to, let's say that an ugly person comes into the bakery and they don't want to buy a cake, as we said before, the judgments in your personal domain have to be pertaining to the activity that's inside the, the activity that you're engaging in. So the person is ugly as sin, and he walks into the store, into the bakery to buy a cake. And, you know, he's buying a cake, he's doing nothing wrong. You know, he looks at the cake and he, you know, says, takes it and goes to pay for it. And you look at him and you go, oh my goodness, this guy is ugly as sin. And then you decide, I'm not going to sell, I'm sorry, I can't sell you the cake. You're too damn ugly. Please get out of here. Don't ever come back because you're scaring the kids and whatever. That would be wrong because the person's ugliness has nothing to do with the purchase of the cake. You're judging the person on something that's totally irrelevant. You know, that's kind of different. For example, as if you're going to buy, you know, hiring a spokesman for a product, that's going to be on TV and everything, and you're not going to hire someone who's ugly as sin for that. And you have the right to say, hey, you're too ugly for this job that we're asking for. You know, but if it's, you know, a behind the scenes job, you can't say, hey, you're too ugly to be the cameraman. No one knows what the cameraman looks like. Who cares how ugly he is? As long as he can do the job, that's what should matter. The thing is that in this example of the ugly customer in the bakery, we have a public access personal domain. And if you start applying certain arbitrary rules, then you start risking violating the other person's right. But in a social club, the access is right off the bat, very clearly delimited at the entrance with this stupid bouncer at the entrance, deciding who is sexy enough to go into the club or not. In that sense, there is a certain connection between the what's being judged and the activity inside, because the in the club, these people are promoting a domain where people are interacting in a social way, and they want the sexy people interacting inside the club, and they don't want the ugly people kind of ruining the atmosphere. They're trying to create a certain social atmosphere, so it's kind of related to the situation it had, but it's kind of an arbitrary and very ugly criterion that's being applied. But there's a certain greater latitude to apply these more arbitrary criteria because the access is more private, but it's declared right off the bat at the entrance. Unlike a bakery, which is a more that's offering a more public service type of activity, where then the criteria for judgment have to be less arbitrary and much more explicitly related to the activity at hand. Here, they always have to be related. The judgment cannot be completely arbitrary. The bouncer cannot say, you can't enter because you're black, or you can't enter because you're Oriental or whatever, because then you're declaring the inherent inferiority of certain people. And that's where it's not allowed. So we have to judge the level of public access. And that is very relevant nowadays with the issue of the censorship that's happening in on the internet currently at the time of this recording, where if you post something on Twitter or whatever, they will take it down if it's not fitting of the liberal ideology. If you say something that hits the liberals real hard, they will take it down and say, oh, you're practicing misinformation or doing whatever, and they put up all these excuses. and they say, "Oh, you're violating our terms of our guidelines or whatever." And sometimes they just invent these guidelines or make up stuff that you violated a certain guideline that you really didn't violate, but because it's all so murky, they can kind of get away with it. And I've heard people say, "Hey, well, it's their business. You know, they it's their company. They have the right to decide who they allow to post. It's not like this is not a public service, a public government, taxpayer funded company, where we can say, hey, we're paying for that. How can you censor us like that? We are subsidizing you. In this case, it's a private company." And you could say, yeah, they have a personal domain and they have the right to do whatever they want, but there's a problem. And it has to do with this personal versus public access parameter that we're describing, this third parameter. And it's that they don't portray themselves as a club with a bouncer. They portray themselves or they offer a service that is similar to that of the bakery, where the doors open and people just come in and out. And what's purportedly offered is a service of communicating information between people. It's just like this bulletin board, and they're saying, "Hey, just come in and post whatever you want on your bulletin board." This place of communication between people. So it's a bakery type or store. Public store type of access that is portrayed. It does not. They don't have a bouncer at the door saying, "Hey, we are a liberal nut job, social media website, and we are nut job liberals, and we don't tolerate anyone who disagrees with us." So this is just for left wing nut jobs. They don't portray that on the outside. They act like they are this impartial place of business where you can conduct communications with other people, just like you would, you know, on any bulletin board. But it's not like that. So because they portray themselves as a public access company, then the judgments they can make about what goes on within their personal domain are much more limited. And unfortunately, that legal concept is not in our system right now, and that's what causes so much problems, because no one is thinking about these things. No one is thinking about this is not stuff that's being made up. This is the what we're saying in these audio clips are the metaphysical reality. That's how things are in their essence. But we're not analyzing these things, and we're trapped in a very incomplete legal system and a very incomplete constitutional system. And that's why we are in the mess we are right now. So it's important to point out. So this third parameter, personal versus public access, public access personal domains must remain generic in their parameters of acceptance, and more personal domains can be more finicky, more arbitrary. But they require that the parameters be laid out clearly at the entrance. In other words, before I ever sign on to Twitter, I have to be made aware that this is a website, but not in the murky language of these guidelines, you know, terms of, you know, like sometimes when you log into a company or sign in, they show you a checkbox with a link. I agree with these terms, and you click on the link, and it's like a 50-page document with a lot of legal mumbo jumbo. And most people just say, "Oh, okay, whatever," and they accept the terms and click OK. That's not even if it technically somewhere it says something that could be taken to mean, you cannot say anything that sounds vaguely conservative. It's not clear enough. So that doesn't qualify. You have to be very clear at the entrance. If I sign on to Twitter, and if they're going to do the censorship they're doing, they have to be very clear. We are left Twitter, lefty Twitter. We are a lefty website with a lefty agenda, and we only like lefty thinking here at this site. So sign in to Nutjob Twitter. But it has to be clear, you know. Or if you are going to the other side and somebody starts a conservative Twitter and they go, yeah, we don't like liberals here, they have to say it at the entrance, this is right-wing Twitter, and the other one is left-wing Twitter. But it has to be very clear. And if it's not clear, and it's just this public access place where people can post, it's a communication board. That's what it's basically saying. It's like a switchboard. If it's portraying itself as such, and they have to portray themselves as such because that's how they draw in business. If the bouncer is at the door clearly labeled left-wing nutjob bouncer, they know people are not going to come in. And so they want to draw people in, but once they're inside, then the bouncer just, who is lurking behind, you know, some counter, just bounces out from the counter and stomps on people and beats them up when they do something that they disagree with. But they have them in the store already. They have them trapped in the system. And that should be unconstitutional. The system, our constitution, the new American constitution will make it very clear that these sorts of behaviors are not right because they're not in agreement with a proper right to a personal domain. So that's the third principle. So first principle, the right to a personal domain gives you the latitude to make judgments about the behavior of others within your domain, as long as those judgments are not about the inherent value of individuals. And number two, that you have the latitude to judge behavior pertaining to as long as it's pertaining to the service being rendered or requested. If it's completely foreign to the service being requested or rendered in that personal domain, then the judgment is invalid. And the third principle is personal versus public access. The level of connection between your judgment and the service being rendered or requested, the level of connection can become more ambiguous the more personal the domain the domain's access is, and the more public it is, then the less ambiguous that connection is allowed to be. So those are the first three principles that we are going to describe regarding this right to a personal domain. And it must be emphasized, as we said at the beginning of this clip, that the right to a personal domain involves a certain authority over two types of things, people and possessions. So you have authority to exercise your will over the lives of people when they enter into your domain, like employees, for example, in a company. It also gives you authority to exercise your will with regard to possessions. You can place possessions wherever you want, and you can buy certain possessions and use them in certain ways as long as it's not violating someone else's rights in some way. So it gives you right over people and possessions. In some measure. So we'll continue discussing the right to a personal domain in the next audio clip, and I believe that hopefully, by God willing, by the end of the next audio clip, we'll be done with the 10 pillars, and then we will start talking about the political aspects of life under the new American Constitution and how the political landscape has to be redefined. Otherwise, we will never get out of the current mess we're in. The new American Constitution will establish a system that will make political parties very weak and more subservient to the truth than they are now, and we'll describe how that will happen. We've already described a few of the elements surrounding that, but we'll go into more detail probably in the clip that follows the next one after we finish talking about the 10 pillars of the new American Constitution. So thank you very much for listening.